get out the croissants, the Harry Covert, big bottle of sparkling Badois.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. We're here to talk about fashion shows, right?
Welcome back.
We've been talking about, we did a lot of lead up to them, so we might as well do a decompression.
It would be funny if we just never actually talked about the actual thing.
Just pretended they never happened after talking about the anticipation.
This is episode number 34.
Charles Barkley, the round mound of rebound.
Here we are.
There are a lot of number 34s out there, but I'm going with Charles Barkley.
Here we find ourselves.
Wait, was Charles Barkley 34?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Should we just, we are just back from Paris, both of us actually.
Yes,
I was
sir.
There for a very brief, for a blip, for the blink of an eye.
You were there for the right blip.
I was there on assignment, but happened to catch a couple interesting moments. I think I can say that much.
Fall issue of GQ Style, there's going to be a hot Noah Johnson feature.
I went to Paris.
Or four. From Paris, France.
Will was in it for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
And I feel like we need to just get right into the thing that everyone's been asking about. And were you close? We both went to the Vuitton show.
We did.
You saw Virgil Abloh's Friend of the Pod's debut collection.
Shout out Virgil, Friend of the Pod.
A lot there, a lot happened, a lot to discuss.
Wow, a lot happened. What an intense, incredible moment.
The most intense, maybe emotional moment was the hug at the end. The hug. People are asking me, did you see the hug?
Double cry culminating in the hug.
Did you see the hug?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened until later.
Yeah. So basically from our purview, like Virgil came out and swung around.
Right.
And so as he was swinging, he looked like there were some emotions welling up.
Right. The face was beginning to sort of tense into a...
Yeah, it was like welling up.
Yeah.
And then there was something about the way then he had turned his back to us and was heading towards Kanye.
Yeah.
And there was something about the way he like wiped, he put his hands up to his face.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's having a little breakdown. That's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And then people started standing up.
Yeah.
To take pictures and... When I stand up, I can see things.
Yeah, that's right. That's an advantage.
Yeah, due to
hard to buy pants, good to see things over people's heads.
Good to see things, including finding people's wives at parties. stuff like that. Hey, man, do you see my wife? Yeah, she's
over with
there.
That dude over
she's
there.
She's talking to that guy in the muscle tee we were making fun of earlier. You might want to get over there.
Yeah.
So I stood up and then could see, you know, a hug.
It was the longest runway I've ever seen.
Epic runway.
Long enough to fit.
Somebody said half mile, quarter mile.
Was it really?
Some piece. It was some percentage of a mile, for sure.
You couldn't see either end, basically.
Maybe a kilometer.
It was a rainbow brick road, and there was, I guess, 1,000 people were sitting.
I'm curious to hear what you... Yeah, and then 800 kids.
Students.
Design and fashion students standing behind what was all just one giant... 1,000-person front row.
Yeah.
It was also really dope and very Virgil that everybody had a front row seat.
Yes.
You were either there or you weren't.
Yes.
Like all things Virgil.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I just got this really loving, good feeling when I walked in and just saw the setup.
Totally. It was so well executed, I thought, at like from every angle.
Just like either a quarter or a half mile or kilometer of white benches with a giant rainbow like descending as far as the eye could see at the Palais Royal.
Everyone got a t-shirt.
Grand Palais. A t-shirt and a canister for all.
Greatest merch giveaway ever, which was actually very elegantly executed, of course, by Vuitton, where like the... You know, your name was in calligraphy on the tube with your seat, and the tees were like in a beautiful rainbow of colors, and they were
if your seat was in the red part of the rainbow, then you had a red tee.
Yeah, the coordination was just simple but very on point. I thought the same thing about the collection, frankly. I thought once the clothes started coming, everything just seemed really beautifully made, really well thought out.
Nice proportions.
I cannot
tell a lie. I basically blacked out and didn't really see the clothes.
Yeah.
It was just such a like intense, awesome moment
that
it was hard to like stay present and actually like look.
I felt that a little bit. What
I looked without seeing much.
Do you remember your first impressions as the models began? Like you just said you blacked out, so I guess you don't. But No, I do.
And I went back and looked.
Yeah.
No, but I do remember I did have overall impressions of the clothes, but I just wasn't like, oh man, that one pair of pants was so beautifully this or that. It was just a little bit more of a blur. But I just thought the proportions were really nice. And then for me, there have been off-white shows where I felt lost.
Yeah.
By the sort of conceptual.
Yeah.
By whatever the conceit that Virgil was presenting was. And this, I just didn't feel any of that. It felt like, I was like, wow, what a beautiful trench coat.
Yeah.
Or like, wow, like dressing in one color head to toe, which was kind of more of a thing like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Feels dope again. Yeah. Or allowed you to kind of like forget the color and just look at the silhouette. But it just like baggy pants, hoodies, beautiful coats, dope sneakers.
What did he calls it? Accessomorphizing. He's coined the term of turning accessories into garments. So this is like, I think his thinking was like, well, if Vuitton makes bags, but I'm going to be here making clothes and bags, I'm going to sort of make clothes that have bags on and in them, or bags you wear in a more, you know, not just like with a strap, but are actually like part of it. So there was a lot of like three-dimensional wearable bags and then like garments with bags sort of attached something like that,
which feels like a, you know, a step forward for this moment of like the Alix, you know, everybody's wearing like body bags and harnesses and fanny packs and all that stuff, and he was kind of like, in a way it felt a little less like hardcore.
It was
like sort of more seamlessly integrated.
It was like an elegant luxury version of that sort of concept. I'm feeling Virgil's been running the sort of harness, the it's like a leather shoulder strap,
shoulder yoke
thing. Yeah. I'm feeling that thing. Yeah. I think it looks dope. And it comes down, and I believe there's pockets on the side, sort of on the side body, like under the armpit.
And he kind of leaves the bottom of it unstrapped.
Yeah.
And the I was also happy that he was wearing a bright orange one for our party, because it was always very easy to see where he was.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Virgil. But, you know, I have to say that, like, the clothes are the clothes, and I can't wait to, like, dig in more and see them. I did go back and look at the all the pictures to try to process them a little bit better. But for me, it was all about the moment and about, like, the hug and about, like, just the success of the show. I mean, I think there was a lot of feeling that it almost didn't, like, this was a coronation moment for Virgil, and it almost didn't matter what he sent down the runway.
Yeah.
And I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what he sent down the runway was amazing.
Yeah.
The presentation, the show, as a production, was super inspiring and just like totally flawless. The casting, like seeing a lot of friends of the pod in there, like, shout out ASAP Nast, friend of the pod. Shout out Kid Cudi, friend of the pod.
Dev Hines.
Hung out with Dev some a little bit through a friend of a friend in Paris. I don't know him. I can't call him a friend of the pod, but that dude has such incredible energy, and the art that he makes is so beautiful, and just he was in the mix. You know, it's just awesome.
I really Bad Not Good played the music, right? They were fantastic.
And doing instrumental covers of Joints Off Yay.
Yeah.
And then come on, man, the hug. This is like two grown men who have been going through like a public, I don't know what, je ne sais what.
Yeah.
They've been going through a little public thing of like, Kanye was like, he wasn't my creative director.
Yeah, there was weird tension in there.
Did he want Virgil to be to get the designer of Louis Vuitton, Drake driving a wedge between them, all that tension.
Yeah.
But man, this photo and these videos, everybody watching these two of our like most, are very premier cultural leaders crying and like ugly crying and hugging it all the way the fuck out was such an incredible moment of modern masculinity and like pushing things forward. Like, I don't care what anybody says about either of those guys. That was an incredible moment to be like a man of the future.
I talked to someone who
all corporate lunch listeners are, and those of us in this studio right now most definitely are. And like, that was incredible.
A friend of mine had studied like the every possible video and photo from every possible angle, and he was like, in one of these you can see the goosebumps on Virgil's arm. Like, it was like a totally genuine moment. And
so,
I do think
so well documented. When he pointed at him, and they just rushed to each other, like both breaking down.
Yeah.
And then Murakami, of course, like has his camera like in the hug.
Her. Yeah. I do think it's also one of those things, like, the how genuine it is, and that, as a reminder that, for me, I was a little bit like, man, these guys are both sort of larger than life at this point, mega famous, have accomplished a lot. But then there was this realization that, like, oh, this is actually a really, this is a really meaningful thing. This isn't just, like, another feather in the hat or something. This isn't, like, a given. It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't.
Inevitable.
Inevitable that this would happen for either of them, really. I mean, and I think that that kind of really became super clear to me in that moment in a way that it hadn't or couldn't have really been otherwise.
Yeah. It definitely could have not happened. And it could have been yay, and then it wasn't. And then
yeah,
it could have been neither of them. But instead, it became Virgil, and he made the most of it. And then the two of them just had this, like, beautiful. It felt like the release of a lot of, like, tension. And then overall, I think the overwhelming feeling of the Paris shows in general was of, like, man, the takeover.
Yeah.
I got Jay-Z the takeover playing in my head the whole week.
Yeah.
Like, the new generation is here.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
I really like my big impression overall of Paris was Vuitton, Dior, now under the creative control of Kim Jones. He's not calling it Dior Homme, I guess. He's calling it Dior.
It's just Dior, yeah.
So Dior Men's, I guess we'll say, or something.
Just, I was, like, trying to tag the Dior Homme Instagram account on, like, something I was doing. Yeah, they just wiped it.
Wow.
All Dior.
And then Alix. I think the three of those together, because they were all clearly in conversation, three friends, a lot of overlap. If you look at them, they all did similar things. They all introduced elegant and sort of edgy, for lack of a better word, tailoring. They all did similar things with accessories. There were like pops of neon in each place, but, you know, pretty different aesthetically. Kim Jones did the sort of couture thing, and, you know, Alix has sort of a fetishistic thing, and then Virgil had the kind of globe traveler sort of colorful thing. But, and, like, Matthew Williams collaborated with Kim Jones on hardware for the Dior collection. And then we know that Kim and Virgil are close, and probably there was some amount of advising or something as that torch was passed.
Even
and
just,
like,
Virgil, like, Instagramming carrying his Christian Dior
bag that Kim designed
with, that has his name on it, into the Louis Vuitton offices where Kim used to, he has Kim's old office.
Yeah. And those guys at each other's shows. I just think all this sort of overlap there and a real aesthetic starting to come through. I think for Virgil and Matthew Williams, I would say, I always had a hard time really imagining, like, what's their view, what's their aesthetic.
Right.
It's like, there's energy, there's excitement. This is, it gets
but
my attention.
Is there, like, a whole 360-degree world?
Yeah, but, like, what is this really, what is this thing when it takes shape? Like, what is it, what does it represent? And I think seeing those three collections in Paris this season, I was like, oh, something is starting to sort of crystallize here.
Yeah.
Kim is obviously the sort of senior, you know, he's got a lot of design experience at different places. But I still think, like, him, it's such an interesting little trio, and those labels together really presented something that felt sort
and
of cohesive.
Let's not forget that even though a lot of the Kim Jones collection felt like couture, they were also all marching around a cause statue.
Yeah,
like
totally.
A street artist. It was like a giant cause toy made of flowers. So
yeah,
essentially what you have is very different ideas of it, all of it elaborated far beyond, like, whatever the dirty word version of this was. But it was like three people that are streetwear, come from streetwear.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's one of those terms that has basically been rendered meaningless. But there's no question that when I say the takeover, like, that's what I'm talking about. And also showing that that aesthetic can be a full fashion world full of things.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, just sneakers and t-shirts are now, it's not like Louis Vuitton, Dior, and then Matt Williams is a different deal. It's independent, but it's a leak. It's not like they're all saying t-shirts and sneakers for everyone.
Yeah, totally.
They're all doing the full range of fashion.
I was reading,
but the perspective is streetwear, and it's like running shit.
Yeah. Reading the reviews and recaps and everything have been kind of funny, because a lot of people this season just came out and were like, I'm done. Like, Raph came out with his collection, which is really nice. These satin overcoats, mostly it was. And he said, I'm just done with streetwear. We've got to move on. And it just felt like,
dude.
He's like, you know, he's saying, like, there's a lot of subtext there, you know? Like, he went back to Paris to show his collection for the first time in a few years. So he was, you know, in the same city where this other thing was happening and clearly wanted to react against something. But I think he sort of missed, like, I think he must have said that or had that idea before, obviously, before seeing what Virgil and others were going to do. Because it's kind of moot, because Virgil didn't really show you a streetwear thing. I mean, he did in that this is part of it, but that's not really what, you know, what
Raph
he did
was showing.
All.
By the way, Raph was showing T-shirts with pictures of punks on them.
Yeah.
In a club that felt like you were at a rave at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like
platform shoes and.
Yeah, and shiny sweaters. And I don't know, like. So high fashion that is sprung from like a club experience doesn't feel that different to me from. And there's also a lot of Raph Simons and what Matthew Williams does, or at least a lot of overlap between the two. So
I think all that
what
stuff.
What does
is,
that even mean?
I think it's all just coded.
We've
got to
move on.
People keep saying one of the way people like to code things when they want to take someone like Virgil down a notch is to say, like, you know, this collection's really about the clothes.
Yeah.
Meaning
instead of about the hype, and
yeah,
who's
instead
in the front
of about
row
all this
and
other stuff,
the
which
Kanye
I think is
hug
so
and-
bogus. It was like similarly when people would say, well, Vuitton really, you know, it's sad they really only hired Virgil for his Instagram following, and I was like,
that's insane. Doesn't Vuitton already have more Instagram
yes,
followers than Virgil?
Way more,
yeah,
and like. The Vuitton has no issue with brand awareness. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that's not like the thing that they're trying. They're not trying to get in front of more eyeballs.
Just trying to get the American population to know what Louis Vuitton is.
Like,
man, the thing is like, you can say whatever you want. You can deny whatever you want. But the like, here it is. It all just happened.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing that was really just like kind of crazy about it is Kim Jones came up independently and on his own, but Virgil and Matthew Williams, and then every like a huge percentage of the celebrities that were like getting the cameras popping at any single show,
yeah,
they were all like Kanye's children.
Yes.
And then Kanye came in and out. He flew in for Virgil's show.
Yeah.
Left the same day to go do the Teyana Taylor listening for the last album, the fifth of the five albums he produced in L.A. Got back on the plane.
Oh, and then went back to Paris.
For Matthew Williams' show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But then, like, from our party to the Virgil show, to Kim Jones, to Matthew Williams, like, it was Kid Cudi, Bella Hadid, Don C.
Yeah. A-Side.
Yeah.
Ivan Jasper.
A-Side, Ivan. Like, these were the people popping up at shows, like, getting getting their picture taken, making the whole thing go. And it was like, it was really interesting because there was a moment a few years ago where it felt like if it wasn't somehow Kanye adjacent, nobody was talking about it.
Right.
And then Kanye like went underground
for
a few years
and
was like, you know, I don't need to say what he was doing. He's dealing with his stuff.
He's shared a lot about that.
Yeah, he's said enough in his own words.
Yeah.
And then this time he was back, but he wasn't showing. He didn't have anything. He was just there.
Yeah.
Like blessing the work of his children.
Yeah.
And suddenly it felt like we're back to this place where if it's not Kanye affiliated, like there's no talk. Like, I'm sorry, Raph can say what he wants. There wasn't like that much talk about the Raph show.
No.
People were like, did you go to the Raph show? I was like, yep. All right, what'd you think? And I would give my take and they'd be like, yeah, cool. But it wasn't like everybody was talking about it.
Yeah. No, all the energy was entirely absorbed by
Kanye affiliated things.
Yeah, people.
But interestingly,
in that orbit.
Not actually Kanye.
Yes.
So
it's funny because the John Caramonica big profile just came out in the Times, and Kanye talks about that. He says like he talks about getting over the obsession with being the number one, getting over the obsession with being the number one rapper, the number one designer, whatever it may be. And he says, just be one of the trees. Like, just be one of the trees in the forest.
That tree over there is dope.
And he sort of did it. But then it's also like the beauty of that and the is that in doing that, he makes it very apparent how real his influence is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when he does step back and sort of blend in, you realize that he's actually not really blending in because he's sort of like, his role is so different in this.
Yeah.
This like empire, you know?
And he's like, I'm just one of the trees, but almost all of the trees around me came from my seeds.
Yeah,
so I am the forest.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's kind of a fun question to think of like whether all of the energy that, you know, the all of the energy being Kanye related, if that's good or bad for fashion more broadly.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, it's really hard for anybody else to get like conversation going. And I don't really know or care if that's good or bad, because this felt like, let's just let this week be about what it was about.
Oh, come on. It was like, yeah,
the takeover, man.
I think it was entirely positive. I think there was so much, because I think there was really, you know, fashion, design, ingenuity being presented. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was really excited by what I was seeing. I don't know.
And the other cool thing about the Virgil experience is, like, he's going to get something that Kim Jones never had, which is his clothes and stores. A lot of stores.
Yeah.
So that, like, the menswear is buyable.
Is that something?
Now, I'm not saying it's affordable.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's going to be out there and around, and you're going to be able to go see it in person and touch it and decide whether or not you can buy it or not. Or you can just go see it in person and touch it and then walk out of the store.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was really hard to find a Kim Jones collection in person.
One of the things.
You could go to the men's flagship here in New York, but. If you lived in L.A.,
there's not much of it out there.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they collaborated with Supreme Atlanta, that you started.
If you live in Atlanta, you could go buy all the bags. Yeah. I don't know. So, anyway.
Yeah, the ready-to-wear is a sort of has always been a different proposition.
A small proposition.
One of the big things that people are saying after this season is that men's tailoring is going to make a return, which is a funny thing in the context of all the streetwear.
Yeah.
You know, and all the streetwear guys showed suits, beautiful tailoring, I thought, funky, you know, asymmetrical stuff, colorful stuff. Even Comme des Garçons showed this, a really zany all suiting collection of like,
yep.
Kind of gonzo, like every iteration of like a crazy
ruching and gathering.
So then you have all the menswear critics saying, like, after years of just being shrugged off and shoved out of the way for sneakers and track pants and hoodies, the suit is back. But that really rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't really think tailoring sort of calmed down and shifted gears, but I think it continued to be interesting and people continued to do interesting things with it.
I agree, and I don't know, but part of it is just like our purview at GQ Style, and definitely for GQ as well, it's been like the suit has never been irrelevant,
yeah,
or out of the mix. It's certainly changed a lot. Like, one thing that's been really exciting as we've been styling stories in GQ is, like, you can really throw somebody a curveball by putting a tie on.
Oh, yeah.
With a suit. And we've been doing, like, what, maybe one or two ties per issue? And every time we do, it's like, dope. It feels so different and weird, and we're like, ah, tie.
Yeah.
Like, here's a cool way to, like, throw a curveball, tie.
Yeah.
And for us personally, all three of us sitting in the studio have been wearing suits throughout all this stuff, but while also wearing t-shirts with them. And I'm not so into sneakers with a suit, but the idea that, I don't know, you would really have to like try to get your head around, like, have suit sales been like plummeting for the last few years? I mean, it certainly was less fun to argue about suits than it was about, like, streetwear and t-shirts and sneakers,
right,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. But I don't know. I thought that the key to a suit right now is just not wearing a traditional way.
Exactly.
But what are we wearing in a traditional way right now?
I don't know.
It's kind of like the way men are dressing in general, is everything gets, like, put through a blender.
And I think, similarly, people throw around the term streetwear. Like, you and I can have a conversation about streetwear, and we know we're sort of, like, on a level, but keep reading these things about streetwear because of, I think, the amount of energy Virgil created. And like, I'm just like, what are you guys talking about?
I don't think people have, like, defined the terms or even know.
Yeah.
And so they throw it out there, like, as a shorthand, often as, like, pejorative.
Yes.
It's like a sneak diss.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of being, it's getting pretty useless as a term. But you could definitely, like, maybe streetwear really means, like, a hypebeast perspective. And I mean, like, hypebeast.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, where you're interested in, like, limited Nikes and small and like Fear of God. Like, what about Fear of God is streetwear? I don't know. It's like jeans and plaids and.
Yeah, it's not like it's athletic specific.
Maybe
somehow.
What makes it streetwear is that Jerry Lorenzo, like, is African American and worked for Kanye West.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening. Like, basically. Maybe. Yes. People, again, it's like coded language where people are sort of like wanting to somehow categorize a group of people and like an aesthetic. And rather than doing the thinking to, like, to figure it out, they kind of do a lazy sum it up with the neat little word of streetwear thing.
Yeah.
Without.
And, like, Matt Williams seems to get called streetwear 30% less.
Interesting.
Maybe because he's, like, a white American who worked for Kanye West and has since moved ish to Italy.
I think
so. That's less streetwear?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I just think people need to check. Like, I read, I think it was like the Business of Fashion critic was trying, like, was did a pretty real takedown of a lot of the men's shows in Paris. He was really unimpressed, but he didn't really
was
give
it
any.
Tim?
No, Angelo. He didn't really give any solid reasoning.
Yeah.
He sort of said these guys are lazy. They're not doing anything interesting or original. And then he moved on. And I was just left feeling like, wow, you all just right. came out swinging and then provided really no evidence to back it up. And you kind of come across a little bit mad, maybe because you're not included in the way you want to be included in whatever is happening.
Well, I had this, let me see if I can explain this. I had this moment where a friend invited me to go see the Damien Hirst show at Gagosian. And the gallery was closed, and I was just in there with the Damien Hirst paintings by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what Damien Hirst had done, I forget what they called them. It was just paint sticks, oil paint sticks, just blobbed on canvas.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like a kid just pounding a piece of paper with crayons
yeah.
is what the paintings were like. And I was in there, and I was looking at the paintings, and I started laughing because I realized that, first of all, they were all sold.
Of course.
All gone. yeah. Millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fucking matter.
This was just now Gagosian in Paris or a different city?
No, in LA like a couple months ago.
All right.
It doesn't matter what you think of them.
Yeah.
You could be like, wow, these are so moving. This is the Ave Maria to me.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, he's trolling the art world. Or you could be like, this is offensive to me and I hate Damien Hirst. Or you could like literally have bought one and you could be like, yeah, that one over there is mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the idea that somebody can just say, like, this is lazy and unoriginal, or we have to move on from streetwear.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, the world is spinning without you, and it's spinning in this way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Damien Hirst's post-criticism, I think we all walked into the Virgil show being like, I mean, if he had done something really wacky or really conceptual and it was just a total whiff, I think, okay, maybe there could be a take on that. But it was like post-criticism.
Totally.
It was just the moment where him and his thing in this world that he's been building and all the energy behind it and everybody who's been participating and the 35,000 people he's given his phone number out to over the years and all the kids who he writes back on DM and all, it was the fulfillment of all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the like, Kanye needs to be kept out of fashion versus Kanye's kicking his way into fashion. It was like the fulfillment of that. It was just like, this is the moment like where this young black American kid from Chicago has built so much energy that he can no longer be denied, and he's drowned out all the criticism, and there, here, guess what? He's the menswear designer for Louis Vuitton, which is not the most number one, most prestigious job in the world, but it's like in the fashion world, but it's pretty far up there.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want. You can like lob a grenade from wherever you want. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you have to love it. I'm not saying you have to go buy it. That dude is perfectly able to hate however he wants to hate.
Yeah.
But like, it's not going to stop the energy tornado.
No.
The energy tornado moves on.
And then, like, I mean,
the energy tornado rolls through.
You know, we encounter lots of people from various creative worlds in our positions here at GQ and GQ Style, and obviously, since the Virgil news was announced, I would ask everyone what they think. Because a lot of people know Virgil or have worked with him or have some feeling or are adjacent to something he does.
And Virgil is very good at making all of us feel like we know him.
And the one thing people will say, and people say a lot of things and a lot of positive things, but the one thing almost anyone will say is that dude works harder than anybody I know.
Yeah.
And the output's very real. It's there. You know, Off-White's a 5-year-old brand now with 8 collections a year or so. I don't know.
6,000 collaborations.
Men's, women's, resorts, collaborations.
Art show, Beats 1 radio program.
And, like, DJ sets where the dude is, like, wrecking it. Like insanely, like, not like his energy is high, the music is on point, the whole thing, like, it's just like, it's crazy. I mean,
well, I was talking about this with Jorg, O32C, Jorg,
friend of the pod,
FOTP,
big time,
and we were talking about the Virgil Master Flow.
Yeah.
And how is he able to create so much?
What'd you guys decide?
We didn't decide anything other than we're like studying the game and trying to find the flow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as all of us become multi-hyphenate people with a lot of stuff going on and limited hours in the day, and we're just trying to like do as much as we can to participate in the culture in as many different points as we can, and like somehow Virgil's able to touch so many different things and put energy behind so many different projects and have it all move forward, and some people hate it all and some people love it all, and some people like some of it and don't like others of it, but he's just like, it's all moving forward. And how do we all become more like that in a culture that is demanding that all of us do more?
The amazing thing that I think he's proved is that in moving forward, it grows and it builds, and you gain new access.
Yeah.
And like the thing about Vuitton, I think, is especially exciting that maybe isn't apparent to everyone, but it's like Vuitton can do things that Off-White can't do.
Yes.
It's a matter of resources. It's a matter of production, facilities, materials, craftsmen,
stores,
history,
distribution,
all this stuff that it's not really the same. It's not like, well, you got one brand, now you got another brand. This brand does more bags or something like this.
Yeah.
And similarly, Kim Jones, now at Dior, he has new access. He's doing things at this couture level.
Yep.
You know, Vuitton didn't do that. Dior does that.
Yep.
Dior has a couture collection. That's a real thing. You know, it's a distinction. And it so that's like this thing that I think kind of gets lost, or at least I should say a thing that I'm most... that's most exciting, is you look at it and you're like, there's new, what he can do now is actually really different than what he could do before he had this job.
Yeah.
In just some very real ways.
Yeah.
I think the collection,
logistical. Yeah.
I think you saw it in the clothes, in the presentation, everything about it, you saw it was there.
Yep.
And it'll keep, you know, we'll see it again in 6 months.
Yeah. And there's
and lots in between, you know.
There's no question he's a guy who has like the energy to... You're not going to find Virgil being like, man, I'm just exhausted by the grind. I've got, as soon as I finish the fall show, I've got to finish Resort and Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Do it in his sleep.
Is he going to be like,
don't sleep,
in Mallorca for the next 4 weeks or something?
No.
No, he's not.
He's going to be in Paris working. Like, yeah, I'm just going to try to get away. No, he's not.
Are there any...
He's going to be working.
It's hard to even... What other big, other highlights from Paris show-wise?
Yeah, for sure. I thought the Acne show was really nice.
Yeah.
I thought Officine Generale was like really dialed in. Yeah. I would not be surprised if sometime in the next 3 to 4 years that guy gets a nod at a house.
A quiet one, but really solid.
Yeah. And there are big fashion houses that their stock and trade is quiet and solid.
That's right. That's,
you know,
very true.
So I think he's interesting. Lanvin, there's a lot of stuff going on, like what's going on with the women's and who's the designer and all that. But Lucas Ossendriver continues to make good collections. I'm always also really into the way they're styled.
Yes.
If you check,
hell yeah.
Go look through this Lanvin season and a couple from the past men's collections by Lucas and check out the way they're styled if you want like inspiration for how to get dressed. Balmain.
Yeah.
Olivier did a Michael Jackson show that was like super fun. I also loved the edit of all the music because it was like taking all the most political Michael Jackson songs.
Oh, really?
And when they were cobbled together in that way, it felt like just a different read on Michael Jackson. So it was like, you know, Black and White, which is like a hit song and you think about Macaulay Culkin, but that was also like very like Michael Jackson, like We Are the World kind of vibe. And
which was the name of Virgil's collection, Vuitton collection.
Oh, yeah, We Are the World. The Rick Owen show as a production was just one of the most like goosebump inducing, hair raising, most incredible pieces of fashion,
just
fashion show I've ever seen.
Does it.
And then Dries Van Noten, whose collection was it? Did you look at the Dries?
Yeah, I loved it.
Werner Pantone.
That's right.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Interior designer.
He just got to go nuts with the Werner Pantone patterns and stuff. So good.
Yeah.
That was the one where I was like, I might save money for like this this wavy denim jacket with like the Werner Pantone rainbow.
Yeah. Lots of color. Everywhere there was lots
color
of color.
Color galore.
Yeah.
Color galore.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
Colorful new clothes.
Colorful new clothes, a Noah Johnson mantra.
Yeah.
Last but not least, in Paris, France, we threw a pretty banging party ourselves.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there the one night that the party went down.
Well played, dude.
At La Avenue. Is it a cigar lounge? Does that room have a name, the upstairs? Cigar lounge.
No, it's just the upstairs bar. But A-Side, who I asked to sort of... You guys know A-Side, friend of the pod, actual
guest on
very,
the pod.
Very rare guest
heard
on
his
the pod.
Voice.
A-Side's a big cigar smoker. So yeah. Alex, who owns La Avenue, was like, should we, the best cigar store in Paris will come set up and sell cigars.
Do
you want me to get them here? And I was like, not really, but A-Side's going to want it. So yeah, yeah. So like, shout out to A-Side, our co-host in the Paris party.
As a non-cigar smoker, I find, not so appealing, the smell of cigar smoke. But, like, the party, once it got popping and, like, half the people in the room had a fat stogie in their hand, including a bunch of really beautiful women, I was just like, this is perfect.
Yeah, not mad.
A-Side and Virgil DJed. A couple of their friends jumped in.
It was mostly the two of them going back and forth with Lucas Abbott providing
It was...
Making
phenomenal.
The photos
it
awesomer.
So good. Also, like, shout out to La Avenue for the sound system up there, because I was deaf for 2 days after that night.
Well, they brought in a good sound system.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Again.
They pulled out all the stops,
they
dude.
Figured it out. I mean, it
shout
was
out
like...
Shout out to Thierry.
I was hanging with...
the sound guy.
There was something for everybody there. I mean, most deaf walking in late night. Yacine Bey walking in.
Yacine on the mic.
And just, like, going to the booth. Stepping behind there and just kind of like hoodie pulled up, hopped on the mic, was a definite highlight. That was wild.
I mean, when Mos Def talks, it's just the best sound.
Yeah.
Like, that dude has the most beautiful voice.
It's true.
Hands down. We need to get fucking Yacine on the pod.
And then.
And get him to read the back of a cereal box.
Let's
just get him to read the back of a cereal box, dude. It'll take all the pressure off us.
Yeah. Sam, book it. Kid Cudi. Up on a table, singing the song on Ye.
And the Rocky remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky, just like in the what became essentially a mosh pit, for lack of a better word. Just
all right,
like
so
going off with
somebody,
like.
Somebody told me Rocky was there and he was like, oh, he's looking for you. And I didn't see him. And then I saw him. He was out in a different room, like sitting there just chilling, and I went to go talk to him, and then they put on Flaco Jody.
Oh, he came running
and
in.
I was like in the middle of a sentence, and he just got up and just went and ran in and dove in and like elbow this way, elbow that way, and then the mosh pit was lit.
It was lit.
Yeah.
Also, he was wearing a lot of diamonds too, and that was pretty impressive. Just, he was just like flying around, and then there's just like the bling was.
It must be
working.
Fun to just turn up to your
dude.
Own shit.
I was like, this is the craziest thing, because this is like it's not like Virgil was playing these songs because those guys were there. I mean, kind of, but also it was like he was just playing the set, and then the dudes just happened to be in the room, a small room. I don't know how many people were at this party, but it was not about the size of the party. It was not a big party.
No. Shout out to James Harden, who won the MVP.
50% of the people there were famous rappers and basketball players.
100%.
Yeah, James Harden was there.
It's 100% true that 50% of the people there were rappers and basketball players.
Yeah. The like average net worth in the room was like definitely
high. Yeah, it was really high.
I don't know what. Yeah. Lots of zeros. I
also not a bad girl to guy ratio for Men's Fashion Week.
I know, totally.
like maybe not a perfect ratio in your dream scenario, but for Men's Fashion Week, it was pretty good.
The thing about, I mean, there's been lots of good Men's Fashion Week parties, but mostly the good Fashion Week parties happen during
women's
season.
Yeah.
Because there's a better mix and there's some more wattage out, and it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Typically after men's fashion shows and late night, you're like at a bar with a bunch of dudes. Like,
yeah.
Eat a
talking
lot of
about
pasta,
fabrics.
Like talk about
and fighting about what streetwear means. Which can be a perfectly good time, but not so sexy.
The party went late, and I found myself outside on the sidewalk after, surrounded by French policemen and like military guys, which is really funny. They kept bringing their dogs. I was like lurking on the corner with some homies that must have looked like a drug dealer. At one point, we got surrounded, and I was like, yo, is this weird? My friend who speaks French asked him, and we were like, no, we're good. They were just scoping us, and we're hanging out, and then this kid, this young kid, American, must have been like 18 with two chicks, comes running up on me. And he's like, Noah, man, I love what you do. Gives me a hug. And I'm like, ah, friend of the pod. And he's like, I love your brand, man. I go to your store in Soho all the time. Yes. I was just like, what is going on? This dude doesn't know who I am, or he thinks that
he thinks you're Brendan Babinski.
Yeah, it's like late or early in the morning at this point, and I'm like in a state, and I'm just like, what is going on? He must have heard someone say my name, because there were other people shouting my name, and I was, again, like, oh, that's deaf, Noah. Ears ringing. Yeah, he must have heard Noah, and then I was there. Shout out that guy. Maybe he is a friend of the pod also, in which case this is going to blow his mind hearing this. I hope he remembers.
He was like, this party's so lit that if there's a person here named Noah, it must be Noah who designs Noah.
And has the Noah store. Never even, like, the fact that someone would just assume that that brand is run and owned by someone.
You should have been like, Noah. Come by the store anytime and take whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Tell him I sent you and that everything's on me.
Oh, man, the takeover is here. It feels good, man. Feels good.
Should we vibe out?
Just get out of the way. 13, 13, 13, 13, 13. Yeah, let's vibe out. What do you got? You want to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. I got a new hobby. I got a new interest. I came back from Paris and went straight to the gym.
Bocce?
The climbing gym. I love bocce. Oh, that's a good, like, bocce ball?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's I was just trying to guess your vibe.
It's the opposite. I came home, went straight to the climbing gym, and hopped on the rowing machine.
Whoa.
You ever get on a rowing machine? I bet Sam Hine rows.
Dude, man, you're so active. You make me feel so sedentary.
Well, I had been very sedentary and also...
Noah, did you skate this weekend? No, I was rowing.
Indulgent.
Noah, did you row this weekend? No, I was climbing. Noah, did you climb this weekend? No, I was hiking.
I wish I had. Jeez, man. It does sound that way.
Sam, dude, let's get into some outdoor activities together this summer. We can't. We need to show Noah what time it is.
Should we do like a triathlon?
No, don't say we.
Oh,
this is
not,
me
I'm
and
not
Sam.
Included.
No,
you're gonna have to play Sam in tennis.
I will clean Sam's ass off the court in tennis.
All right, this vibe is just a rowing machine. If you haven't been on one, hop on one, break a sweat. Feels great. Go ahead.
My vibe is, I know, Paris this, Paris that, the takeover. This whole pod has been about Paris. My vibe is the city of Milan.
Whoa,
Milan.
Also in Europe.
When I say also in Europe, also a fashion capital. When I say I love Milan, even in Milan, people look at me like I'm a loser.
It's not a popular opinion.
They are wrong.
Yeah.
Milan is an amazing city. Like, eminently walkable.
Yeah.
Italy without the tourists.
Yeah.
And most importantly, it unfolds for you over time. So your first trip to Milan, you're going to be like, should have gone to Florence.
I had that experience.
Should have gone to Rome.
Yeah.
But over time, as you discover the good restaurants, as you discover the good stores, as you discover the good museums, places to see some art, maybe you go to the Salone di Mobile in April and see the world's greatest design fair, not an arguable point, suddenly you begin to realize that Milan is dope.
I thought that last time I was there with you. I didn't think that before.
It kind of opens itself up to you over time. So that's my first vibe.
Next vibe is Kanye West going to a vintage clothing store in Idaho and buying 13 garbage bags of clothes.
Yeah.
He bought 13 garbage. I think it was 13 garbage
actual
bags.
Actual garbage bags.
Big garbage bags. Yeah. This was also in the Carmonica profile that we mentioned earlier in the New York Times. I don't know what they're driving to Yellowstone. They're out there somewhere. Idaho is right next to Wyoming, where Kanye's been recording all this music. He finds this, I think, just drives by like a vintage clothing store, not vintage clothing, like a Salvation Army, like a used clothing store, not like a hip vintage clothing store.
No, like a used. It's like for outdoor gear.
Yeah, and
I was
being,
like, man, New York needs one of those so bad. What if you could just go and like. It was secondhand REI.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And mountain towns have those. Like, they have them in Vermont, and I remember in Colorado having those, because basically you have a lot of wealthy people or just people that have lots of this gear over the years, and eventually they donate it. It wears out. It needs to get replaced. And I'm sure he came up on some fly shit.
Yeah. 13 trash bags.
I just like that.
Did you see the photo of the bags waiting to be picked up?
Yes, I did. And the owner of the shop was really hyped on it. And Cam Wolf from GQ actually tracked them down and did a story on GQ with the owner of the store.
I didn't know. Cool. I was on the plane yesterday. I didn't know that Cam was doing that story. I laughed my ass off when I saw Cam's tweet that was like, yeah, I talked to the lady.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you, dude.
Cam Wolf goes for it.
Yeah, go get it.
Follow that dude.
Kind of piggybacking on my Milan, Marnie.
Marnie's so cool.
Yeah, the Marnie collection, really dope.
Yeah.
So, again, Kanye West was not in the audience. The designer, Francesco Rossi, did not one time serve as a Kanye West creative director. But the Marnie collection is really good. And basically, it's been really good since the guy took over. It has a zaniness to it. It has a sense of humor to it. It has some wild colors, wild proportions, and hilarious ideas. But it also just seems like it got even more dialed in, as though like what was an amazing like idea last season is now like, oh, now I could wear that.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Chris from Union, Chris Gibbs. Yeah. Shout out Chris Gibbs.
I was just thinking about that.
And I was like, Chris, what have you loved? And we're like in the, we were actually standing at the Elite show.
Yeah.
It had just ended. So it's like the middle of all this like Kanye affiliate chaos. And he's like, Marnie, dude.
Yeah.
Chris, I hope it's okay if I told that story.
I was actually just going to say shout out Chris Gibbs at Union because he carries Marnie.
Heavy.
And I think I love that because he makes it make sense because you see it next to
Visvim
other
and
stuff.
Comme des Garçons
and you're just, it's like, it's nice. Sometimes you need like somebody with a vision like Chris who can take a brand that you like Marnie, but like give it some context and then suddenly
help,
you're like,
help you figure out for him how to buy it, for you how to buy it and then wear it.
It's funny. This ties directly into the next vibe.
Let's make Chris Gibbs just a friend of the pod and permanent vibe.
We should
vibe.
Have him on. He tells really good stories too. And really sweet guy. So I saw him at the GQ party and, I was like, how's it been? What have you been into? And he was like, Birkenstock, super into Birkenstock. And Birkenstock does presentations at Fashion Week now.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of, we were chatting about that. So Rick Owens collaborates with Birkenstock now and had Birkenstock in his runway show that you mentioned earlier as a highlight. I just want to read a quote from Rick Owens from his Vogue review. It's
Please
really good.
Do.
I'm talking about control and collapse and chaos and everything. Yes, but in my personal life, I'm looking for a balance between responsibility, well-being, and extreme hedonism. And I think there is a way of balancing that out. Responsibility doesn't mean you're uptight, and hedonism doesn't mean that you're evil. The Birkenstock adds this nice, placid, serene feeling of well-being and liberalism. It's like taking muesli with your ecstasy.
Wow, what a quote. So Rick just said that off the top backstage after the show?
Yeah.
Dude, man.
What?
I just had this feeling at that show where I was like, the hype comes, the hype goes. Rick Owens just reigns supreme.
So good.
You know what I mean? I know I'm talking out of three sides of my mouth at the same time. Like, but it is true. Like, nobody at this point is going to be like, I just can't wait to see what Rick does this season. Like, nobody in our world.
Yeah.
But every time we go there and something incredible happens, something beautiful and something challenging and something dark and... That quote, like, a little muesli with your ecstasy.
Come on.
A little Birkenstocks with your, like, Dracula drapery.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude. Come on, dude.
So good.
What else do you need?
And, I mean, not for nothing. That dude's, I mean, he's got a business, too. People wear the shit out of his stuff, you know?
Man.
It's not for everybody, but, and if people look at these collections, and it's
for
not
a lot
all,
of people,
you know,
though.
The runway collection's a runway collection, but he's got a commercial hold. He's got a grip, you know? He's got...
I've been known to spend some money at Rick Owens.
But
I don't wear white pancake makeup. my next vibe is Kid Cudi. I'm really enjoying the return of Cudi, and I have to say, after having some exchanges with Cudi in Paris, it's just so awesome to see a guy. He had like a pretty meteoric rise to fame. He had some like pretty well documented struggles of various kinds, and also channeled struggle into music in a way that anyone with a beating heart can appreciate. But now is back with this Kids See Ghosts album, and it was just like hanging out in Paris. Seemed like he had a really good time, but there's something to a dude who had like a big rise to fame and then also spent some time like being not famous, being not publicly productive, and who's now back in a place. And like you almost return to fame or like a not that bright of a spotlight, but a bit of a spotlight with like a new, like really normal, like human energy.
Yeah.
He just seemed like a human of Earth instead of like some kind of like rap star or whatever.
Right.
And I just really appreciated that about him. And I think that also is like musically who he is and is something that's going to serve him well. So I just, I was just happy to see that guy like back in the mix, but back in the mix in a way that seemed like a little bit more sustainable.
I didn't get to chat with him, but he looked really fly in Paris. At Dior, he wore a black suit, right?
Yeah.
That looked really good.
With a t-shirt.
Yeah, with a white
tee. And then at the Louis Vuitton after party, he was like fully suited in a way that was really jarring.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, everybody else was trying to like look cool and modern. He was looking like pretty GQ. With the scare quotes sense of GQ.
He had one of my favorite looks in the Vuitton show too. It was the hoodie with the trench and the
The baggy pants and the sneakers.
It was
all monochromatic.
Yep.
Monotone.
Yep.
Tonal. What do you got?
I got one last vibe to share. I rarely have recommendations for things to do in cities, and since we've just been talking about Paris, there's one thing I do every time I go to Paris.
Skate.
And I did it. I did skate. But that's not what my recommendation is. It's the Casti burger at La Castiglione.
Had one.
You had it this trip?
Oh yeah.
It's so good.
I had one before with Pari Dukovic right before the right before the LV after
really?
Party. Yeah, crushed a Casti burger.
So I do it every time. I mean, I don't go to Paris that much, but I always get a Casti burger, and I did it like off the plane this trip. Like I got off the plane, went to the hotel, then went and got the burger.
Yeah, let me go get this.
I was just ready.
Let me go get this cheeseburger.
It's my
like
one
an American
very
in Paris.
Solid, like if you're going to go to Paris anytime soon, or if you're just looking for a really good burger and you're willing to travel, get a Casti burger at La Castiglione.
You're looking for a good burger and are willing to travel. Let me ask you this. Do you like to sit outside on the sidewalk or upstairs in the upper deck?
I do it all.
I don't care as long as they serve you that burger.
I'm happy to be on the sidewalk. This time I went alone and I was going to sit at the bar, but they sat me at the window table, which is
nice.
Really dope. And there's like a smaller window table and a bigger one. And I was just at the small one solo, just like looking out the window onto the sidewalk. It was perfect.
You know what else you can get there?
What?
Chicken nuggets.
Really?
Yeah, they serve chicken nuggets. Shout out to Mark Anthony Green, chicken nugget lover.
Next time.
Sometimes like the sometimes you'll find some Americans are ready for like just a taste of Americana.
Yeah.
Amidst a week of French food. I'm gonna end with shorts.
Oh yeah.
I think you vibed this.
Oh yeah.
Didn't you vibe it?
Yeah, but I think you're gonna come at it from a different angle. I meant to bring this up actually talking Paris because everyone was wearing shorts.
Dude, motherfuckers were just like at shows like wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Like in Paris.
Yeah.
So there's this big debate, like, can you wear shorts in the city and all this? It's like, this was not only shorts in, like, Paris, like, where you think of wearing, like, all black.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like an all-black suit with slim lapels and, like, a black t-shirt and black boots. Dudes were just wearing shorts, like, majorly. Short shorts, long shorts, any kind of shorts.
Yeah.
Sitting at fashion shows in shorts.
Yep.
It's just, the shorts thing is...
It's out there.
It fully happened.
My favorite shorts was Yoon Ambush was wearing the Comme des Garçons glitter shorts that I never stopped talking about.
But. They're incredible.
A lot of fancy dudes from other magazines who you wouldn't expect wearing shorts out there wearing shorts.
Yep.
I didn't wear shorts.
I didn't either, but I did bring some.
Yeah?
I brought a pair of shorts and I bought a pair of shorts, but I never like fully pulled
what
it together to just
buy?
Wear some shorts. Massimo Alba, dude.
Ooh.
Garment dyed corduroy. It's like... They were like a money trap for me.
Uh-huh.
It was like,
combined all the things.
Yeah, they were like joke. I was like, just take my cash. That's it. Episode 34. Paris.
Shout out
the takeover.
Charles Barkley.
The takeover. Bye.